Hello and welcome to episode 272 of the official EstablishTheRun.com podcast. My name is Adam Levitan, as always, joined by Evan Silva. We are coming off of a massive bye week, which I know Evan enjoyed. Good afternoon, Evan. How's it going?
Going well. Coming off a good betting week. Good week on a couple of showdown slates. And kind of re-energized here after the six-team bye week, although we only have two teams on bye this week. So it's a little bit back to normalcy.
On today's show, and each Tuesday this season, Evan and I go team by team, highlighting the most important things we saw from a fantasy perspective and key takeaways. On this show, we'll be doing the NFC. Before we get into it, two things. First, the NBA team is grinding their faces off 24/7. When I say 24/7, I mean it. We have people in every time zone, all over the world, in Australia, working on projections, so we are ready for DFS and for props. It's just really hard to even think about competing in either of those without someone helping you, like us, on news and on projections. Head to the subscribe page to check that out. Second, this show is indeed brought to you by our friends at PrizePicks.com. You guys know me. You know I love props. There are a ton of people who unfortunately don't have access to legal player props because they're in New York or California or Texas or a whole bunch of other states that don't have regulated sports betting yet. PrizePicks is legal and regulated in almost all of those states. You can bet their props in parlay form. We do have a table up each week to compare our projections to PrizePicks. We're actually getting up an NBA version of that table today. If you want to try out PrizePicks, they have a 100% instant deposit bonus up to $100. Use promo code ETR to get the best deal, or use the link in the show notes. Again, promo code ETR at PrizePicks.com. Okay, Evan, let's get to it with the NFC. And it wasn't really a competitive game for the Arizona Cardinals. I was encouraged by Chase Edmonds' outing. It looked like maybe the shoulder was bothering him a little bit in previous weeks. Clearly, it did not here because he was running in garbage time. And he ended up out-carrying James Conner 15-10. Zach Ertz also made his debut. And, you know, there was a funny Twitter account that was like Zach Ertz's yak or something like that, because he literally had like zero yak for like years running. First game in Arizona, catches the ball over the middle, gets like 30 yards of yak on his way to the touchdown. What'd you see out of Ertz's debut and anything else on the Cardinals as they get set to play on a short week against the Packers?
Yeah, they got Ertz going right away. I mean, 49% of the snaps, he had five targets, 3 for 66 and a touchdown. I mean, I think that, you know, I mean, there are a lot of dudes here that are getting the ball. I mean, there's two running backs that get the ball. There are essentially four receivers that get the ball. Kyler Murray is a threat, at the goal line. But I still think Zach Ertz at the weakest position in fantasy in season long, I think you're playing him against Green Bay. Mm-hmm. The delineation at wide receiver is, you know, it has not changed. DeAndre Hopkins, number one, AJ Green, number two, Christian Kirk, number three, Rondell Moore, number four. And that's why we can't trust Rondell Moore. And it does not help that Zach Ertz has been inserted into this offense. James Conner got the late touchdown, remains the clock killing back. You know, we kind of know it's not always the easiest to predict which guys are going to have big games in given weeks, but we do know the role structure in Arizona. We've got that pretty much pinned down.
Yeah, and they're not going to change. I mean, they're 7-0 at this point, and obviously they're not going to change anything. I do think that it's very clear that Chase Edmonds going to have positive touchdown regression, but it's going to come from not around the goal line because that's where James Conner is operating. Atlanta Falcons. I mean, Mike Davis has been almost completely phased out now. Cordarrelle Patterson handled 74% of the running back carries, and Cordarrelle Patterson ran 28 routes on 42 Matt Ryan dropbacks. And this is kind of what we were talking about the last couple of weeks. Yeah, CPAT's usage wasn't great, but what if he's earned more? And it seems like that's the case, right? I mean, 74% of the running back carries is a ton in today's NFL and still running 28 routes. Also, this Ridley stuff, man. I don't know if you have a Calvin Ridley take. You know, I'm not a team watch the tape guy. A player as talented as Calvin Ridley getting 10, 11, 12 targets per game and not producing. I'm going to keep going back to the well. I don't know if you've seen anything on what's wrong with Calvin Ridley. Anything else on the Falcons?
Yeah, I have to confess, like, I never even thought it was within the range of potential outcomes that Cordarrelle Patterson could take over as the Falcons' true feature back. But that's what he was coming off the Falcons' week six bye. And you're right, Mike Davis has been almost completely phased out. With Calvin Ridley, I think that it's one of the situations where you needed the other guys to step up in the offense. And we have seen that now from Kyle Pitts in consecutive games. I think that that's going to help. I think that the targets are not going to go away for Calvin Ridley. He's averaging almost 10 and a half. I think he's like 10.3 targets per game. I still think he's a buy low. Maybe I'm being too stubborn about this. I don't think so. I think he's a really good player. I think the volume is there. I think big plays are going to come. And I think that it helps that there are other playmakers emerging in this offense that defenses need to account for. And that's going to end up coming full circle. And Calvin Ridley is going to have a big game real soon.
It's not ideal the way Atlanta is calling plays. I don't think they're still not passing enough, but at least Matt Ryan, like he's producing to other guys. He's just not producing to Calvin Ridley. So like it wouldn't be fair to say that Matt Ryan is off a cliff and that's why Calvin Ridley isn't producing. So yeah, I mean, obviously I'm with you. I'm sticking with Calvin Ridley. Talked about that a little bit more on the solo pod if you guys are interested. Carolina, the people want to know, Evan, are you ready to give a public apology to Greg Rosenthal after you torched him on Twitter for not liking Sam Darnold, and now Sam Darnold is getting benched? I'm
sick over
this. I
don't apologize when I'm right. And and I was right that Sam Darnold was going to be a good play early in the season. We laid out all the reasoning. He was the quarterback 5 overall through the first 4 weeks. We expected it to continue a little bit longer than it did. But he helped people that used him early. I mean, shit, I'm number one in pros versus Joes on FFPC, and he's my quarterback too. And he really helped me early in the year. Now we've seen, part of the reasoning was that the supporting cast was really, really strong around him. We've seen that it has kind of crumbled as the season has progressed. No Christian McCaffrey is a really big deal for him. I mean, I know that Chuba Hubbard can still be good in fantasy, but no Christian McCaffrey does matter for a guy like Sam Darnold who, you know, when he comes off his first read, there's not an explosive dynamic checkdown option for him. And he's also under pressure constantly. I mean, they cannot protect him. So the supporting cast has fallen apart. The schedule has gotten tougher and he got benched. PJ Walker was way worse than Sam Darnold when he came in the game, but no, I'm not going to apologize when I was right.
shout out to PJ Walker, XFL fame. But yeah, they're gonna go back to Darnold this week. He does get Atlanta, really, really good matchup. We just saw Tua shred. And yeah, I mean, not just Christian McCaffrey, you know, Robbie Anderson has played awfully. Terrace Marshall missed time and was out this past week with a concussion. Like, it's not just that. The offensive line has been atrocious. So yeah, I had a longer term take than Evan. I thought Sam Darnold would be pretty good all year. I guess I have to take the L there, although I do think he can have a good game against Atlanta, man. I really do. So we'll see. Anything on Robbie?
He gets shook. I mean, yeah. he's a head case, you know, and that's why he's been so streaky. I mean,
how about this? The Deshaun Watson rumors are heating up. I don't really buy it. I still don't think the NFL. I think the Panthers want him, or at least Panthers management owners want him. I don't think that the NFL will allow the PR while this whole sexual assault thing is going on, while the case is going on, for him to play. So I wouldn't add Deshaun Watson, but I know some people are out there talking about it because they think Carolina's going to end up getting Deshaun Watson. I don't know if you have any thoughts there.
Well, did you see the report from Ian Rappaport?
I think that's the one I was referring to, right?
Yeah. Didn't he report that Deshaun Watson is like in no danger of going on the commissioner exempt list?
Yeah, I hear you. They can't.
You just not buy that or what?
I don't know.
I mean, that's coming from the NFL. Yeah. That's, you know, that's the mouthpiece right there.
I know. So no, I guess.
It doesn't make any sense to me either. Daigle and I were talking about this last night. It doesn't. We can't figure out how it makes sense that the NFL would allow this to happen. The PR is so bad. I mean, all the stuff that was. I mean, if you read the reports from Jenny Vrentis on SI.com, like. It's damning. It's damning evidence. At least it seems so to me. I mean, and Jenny Vrentis has like a really good track record too as a reporter. So
yeah,
It's wild.
Even if it's not the commissioner's exempt list, I think they'll find a way to keep him out until this is settled. But yeah, we'll see. I'm not adding Deshaun Watson. Let's put it that way. Last thing on Carolina we should hit is the Robbie Anderson stuff. You know, you said you still want to buy low on Calvin Ridley. The amount of targets for Robbie Anderson has been just as good. Of course, they're coming from Sam Darnold, and it's been absolutely brutal, but I think Robbie has to take some of the blame here also. Like, he's been awful also. 20 targets over the last 2 weeks, 25 yards. I assume you're not buying low on Robbie like you are on Calvin Ridley.
Well, Robbie Anderson is like going to get dropped this week. So you're not really buying anything. You know, I do think that he's worth rostering to see if he can get it together. I mean, we know Robbie Anderson can play. The Panthers know that he can play. That's why they gave him the big extension before the season. It's just gotten off to a really, really rocky start. And sometimes players go through 6, 7, 8 game stretches where they stink, you know, but I think ultimately he'll probably get it together. I think if he gets dropped this week, and I think he's going to get dropped in a lot of places, you know, you should always be trying to add guys that are still averaging like 8 targets a game.
Speaking of drops, let's go to the Bears. And I know a lot of people want to drop Allen Robinson right now. I mean, even against the Bucs, who are giving up so much to pass catchers, Allen Robinson did absolutely nothing. I actually do have Allen Robinson in one league somehow. I don't know how I ended up with that, but like, I'm okay dropping him, I think. Do you have any thoughts there on if Allen Robinson is droppable?
It's tough, isn't it, man?
Yeah,
it's really tough. I mean, one thing I will apologize is for having optimism, because I was actually wrong about this, is for having optimism about Justin Fields last week. I mean, this offense is just an unmitigated disaster. He deserves a lot of blame. When you have like outcomes that are as poor, you know, to like to the an extreme like pole, like what we've seen from Chicago, there are numerous. I mean, it's not just one thing. There are numerous explanations. The offensive line is terrible. The coaching isn't helping. Justin Fields certainly isn't helping. I mean, there's just so many things going wrong here. It's, you know, again, it's hard to have optimism about Allen Robinson. He's going to get dropped. I think I would probably pick him up and put him on the end of my bench, because I do think that there's a chance that Andy Dalton could come back. And I think that Andy Dalton, as sad as this is to say, would be a like, he would really benefit Allen Robinson.
Allen Robinson with Andy Dalton would go, you know, like 5 for 45 at least, or 7 for 60 and stuff like that. You know what I mean? Like that. And, yeah, you know, definitely. You can certainly use that. I mean, guys who can get a 20-30% target share are not easy to find, like Allen Robinson. Last thing on Chicago, Damian Williams did not practice at all last week. We talked about this Sunday morning, and I thought that maybe he wouldn't have a big role. But maybe he doesn't have a big role, not because of practice, but because Khalil Herbert has played so well. Khalil Herbert outsnaps him 51-11. It's tough to say what they'll do going forward once D. Will gets a full week of practice in this week. But I think Herbert's kind of earned the chance to be the feature back. Do you have any thoughts there?
I do too. But, you know, we're just going to have to wait and see on this. I think there's no guarantees. You know, the veteran presence that Damian Williams brings, especially in a backfield where with a rookie quarterback who's just getting this crap knocked out of him, is something that, you know, the coaches might want to, use to justify to play Damian Williams. I'm with you, though. Khalil Herbert, he's been terrific. He was not a guy who was used a ton in the passing game in college. He played at Kansas and then finished up at Virginia Tech. I think he had 34 career catches in 5 seasons. So not a lot. I think his best season was 10 catches. So not a lot of passing game production, but he's been good there. Mm-hmm. And he's been excellent as a runner. You know, he's like compact. He is like, he's hard to bring down. He's got great balance. He's 5'8", 210. He's short, but he's compact. And he ran 4.46 coming out of college. He's a good enough athlete. I've been really impressed with him. I mean, Dave Montgomery is going to come back eventually. Like, do you just pull everything away from Khalil Herbert at that point? I mean, I don't know. I think that we're headed for some maybe a 2 or 3 man committee here eventually.
Yeah, I mean, the way this is going for David Montgomery is not good. Like, the offense completely crumbling and Khalil Herbert playing really well. Obviously, it's not great for David Montgomery. Dallas, coming out of a bye, Dak had some, like, calf issue on that he suffered in the last play of the Week 6 game, but he's going to be fine. They play Sunday night at Minnesota. Only other note I have here is that sounds like Michael Gallup is really close, just to add another guy to this offense who is like spreading it out so much, and it's really hard to pinpoint who's gonna have a big game in a week-to-week basis. But certainly I would want to add Gallup if he was dropped. Again, sounds like he's close. Anything for you on Dallas heading into the Minnesota game?
Yeah, Gallup back, Lyle Collins is coming back, Amari Cooper over his, you know, he had a hamstring and like a rib or something like that earlier in the season. He should be 100% coming off the bye. The Cowboys play 5 of their next 6 games indoors in domed environments. And then the only game that they don't play indoors is going to be against Kansas City. So like we're ready to roll here. This is about to get real, real hot here for the Cowboys.
Let's go to the Detroit Lions. And, you know, I think one mistake or error in season long was I didn't take like any DeAndre Swift in round four. I was taking wide receiver there a ton. I was taking tight end there some when they slipped, but I didn't take any DeAndre Swift. And my God, I mean, he's on pace for 189 carries and 189 carries and 100 catches. Only Christian McCaffrey, LaDainian Tomlinson, Matt Forte have done that. I mean, DeAndre Swift is having like on his way to an all-time season, home against the Eagles next. These games that like the Lions can win, I'm not even sure that's good for DeAndre Swift. Like, yeah, it'll generate more touchdown chances, but like you actually want him in these Rams kind of scripts where they were behind for much of the game, although that game was pretty close. But anyways, anything on the Lions heading into their game against the Eagles?
Not a whole lot to add to that. You know, I think that DeAndre Swift, I'm with you. I didn't take nearly enough of him either. But he's absolutely crushing right now. You know, signs for him in training camp weren't very good. He couldn't get on the field from a practice standpoint. Dan Campbell was like, we don't even know if he's going to be ready to go when the season starts. You know, new coaching staff, new everything in Detroit. But, you know, when week one rolled around, he was ready to go. And his usage has really been on an upward trajectory. And the dude is clearly a baller. I mean, the comparison that I remember Greg Cosell made coming out of college for him was a cross between Dalvin Cook and Alvin Kamara. And I mean, I think that's so spot on. So, you know, like he runs with power as a runner, and he's obviously an assassin in the receiving game. So, yeah.
I was going to say one thing. Oh, yeah. Dan Campbell, you know, I have this like list in my head of coaches who are like full of shit. Dan Campbell talking about injuries is full of shit, man. He said that, oh, guys who haven't been practicing, we're going to ease it in on them. You know, they've been hurting us in the games.
Oh, yeah.
DeAndre Swift hadn't been practicing. That was all BS, man. And so Dan Campbell's on my list now of guys not to listen to about player injuries. Let's go to Green Bay. We saw some life out of Big Bob Tonyan in this game, but still, the target share wasn't great, only 5 targets on 35 attempts. But what we want from Big Bob Tonyan is really high catch rate and a really high touchdown rate. We saw that come together against the Washington football team's pass funnel. Now in this game, Davante Adams is not going to be able to play on Thursday night, I don't think, due to COVID. I'm not sure if that's final yet or not. But yeah, what do you think about Green Bay without Davante? Anything on Big Bob heading into Thursday's game?
Yeah, so I went back and looked at historically 2019 through 2021. Davante Adams has missed 6 games during that span. I was shocked to see that Aaron Rodgers is like way better without Davante Adams. And the Packers are 6-0 in those games. And Aaron Rodgers' touchdown rate is way up. And he scored like 6 more fantasy points per game. Now, that's a really small sample. And I think that if you know, extended that sample out to like a meaningful sample, like 24 games, you know, that would very much even out and probably lean in Davante Adams' direction. But I just thought that was interesting to note. I think that Tonyan is going to be a great play now against Arizona as a guy who's going to be a great bet to score a touchdown, to get, you know, scoring position chances that are left behind by Davante Adams, Randall Cobb, Alan Lazard, probably Marquez Valdes-Scantling, although we got to see about that because he is still technically on the injured reserve. Also, Aaron Jones, I think, can definitely benefit from no Davante Adams because they will throw him the ball in the red zone as well.
Yeah, Aaron Jones splits are very good without Davante Adams historically. Certainly like him on Thursday. We'll be doing a showdown show, Cody and I, on Thursday. We'll talk about that plenty more. Let's go to the Rams. And I don't know what to say about Cooper Kupp, man. Like, he's broken the game. He's broken the NFL, and he's broken fantasy football. He's been the guy you had to have on 5 different DFS slates this season. Like, it's absolutely insane. He's on pace for 136 catches, 1964 yards, 22 touchdowns. I don't know what else to say about Cooper Kupp at this point. I will say about Daryl Henderson's game, I thought Daryl Henderson was just like one of the best DFS plays we've had all season. Obviously, he comes up short, only 9 DraftKings points, but the usage is still awesome for Daryl Henderson. Would not get discouraged there. Anything on the Rams?
No, I think that pretty much sums it up. I think Matthew Stafford is making an MVP case. Number 3 in the NFL in passer rating, number 1 in QBR, number one in net yards gained per pass attempt. Tyler Higbee, the peripherals are there. You know, it's kind of similar a little bit with Darrell Henderson. The peripherals are definitely there. Darrell Henderson, 88% of the snaps this past week, 18 plus touches in four straight. Tyler Higbee, fourth in the NFL in red zone targets. He has the same number of red zone targets as Mike Evans, and he has five targets inside the 10-yard line, but only one tight end or only one touchdown there. Yeah. So this is a guy who's headed for positive regression. I think you if you got him, you keep starting him. If somebody drops him because he had, what, two games in a row below 40 yards or whatever, pick him up. I think he's an every week fantasy starter at the weakest position in fantasy.
For sure. Let's go to the Vikings as they come out of their bye. I don't have a lot to say here other than Dalvin, I thought, looked really good in week six off the ankle. Then he has the bye in week seven. I mean, he should be 100% for Dallas game on Sunday Night Football. Anything on the Vikings as they come out of their bye?
Yeah, and I thought that before the bye, the Vikings might ease back on Dalvin Cook a little bit because Alexander Mattison had been playing so well. They did not. 31 touches for Dalvin Cook, 3 for Alexander Mattison. I would expect more of the same coming out of the bye. I think Dalvin Cook is headed for a big second half of the season.
Let's go to the New Orleans Saints. And, you know, if you watched that game last night, and I couldn't watch much of it, it was so painful, but I did have a bet on Alvin Kamara under 23 and a half catches, which is just such an outrageous number for the style of back
carries,
that he is.
Like, carries.
Under 23.5 carries. And it's like, all of a sudden they think this guy's Derrick Henry or Jim Brown or something like that, you know, and I get it. He had 20 carries and 10 catches. I still think that's too much for Alvin Kamara. They're going to kill this kid. I mean, Alvin Kamara, they want him to touch about 400 something times. I mean, they're going to kill him. He gets the Bucs next, and they have like nothing behind him they even like feel remotely comfortable with. So Kamara had another great game. I'm worried about sustaining for the entire season, but it appears that the Saints aren't, and they continue to play this like 1950s football, which I just hate watching. But anyways, anything on the Saints as they get set for a tough matchup against the Bucs next?
Yeah, it was like the Boomer Bowl. You know, I mean, not that Sean Payton is a boomer, but Pete Carroll certainly a boomer, but Sean Payton's running a team like a boomer.
Yeah.
So yeah, it was a pretty gross game. I didn't have a whole lot of takeaways there. Michael Thomas still seems multiple weeks away. Not a lot to add.
On the Giants, as we get to New York here, they came into this game so injured. I mean, this was a good win for them. You know, like they were so banged up and they just rolled over the Panthers. And I know the Panthers have a ton of problems right now, but Giants rolled over them. Their top three wide receivers for Daniel Jones were Darius Slayton, Dante Pettis, and John Ross. Like, I mean, and they got a good win. I would note that the reporting on Saquon right now, and this is from Rap Sheet, not from Jordan, so we'll talk to Jordan about it, but Saquon allegedly outside shot to return in week 8, but sounds like he'll be back week 9 at the latest. I'd also note that Sterling Shepard was a true game time decision, ended up not playing. I think we can project him back in for week 8. You know, Daniel Jones is going to have big games. I mean, at some point when he gets all his weapons, it's going to be hard to predict, but I do think that he'll have some big games. Anything on the Giants as they're coming off their win over the Panthers?
Yeah, and hopefully Andrew Thomas's stint on IR is only a 3-week thing. In one of my main event teams, we're dumping Justin Fields. Daniel Jones is on the waiver wire, and we're going to try to get him. I think week 11, he faces Tampa Bay. At that point, like, it's possible that he's got Tony back, Shepard, Ross, Galladay, all these guys, and Andrew Thomas.
And Saquon.
And then week 12, Philadelphia. So I think that those are two pretty good matchups in a scenario where his supporting cast could be reaching full strength. And the dude keeps on running. So I think he could finish really fast. I think that if he's on the waiver wire, pick him up. You know, to at very least to stash as your quarterback too, see what might happen when all these things start to come together for him, because he's really been playing shorthanded all season long.
Yep. Eagles, as expected, first game without Zach Ertz, massive, massive usage for Dallas Goedert, 64 out of 69 snaps, 32 of them slot or wide. It was a little disappointing. He only had 5 targets for a 14.5% share, but he did catch a 2-point conversion. He did finish with 370. I thought it was fine. Better days ahead, I think, for Dallas Goedert. We'll see what happens at quarterback. I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility that they bench Jalen Hurts at some point down the line here, but The big story, Evan, is the Miles Sanders injury, because everybody wants to know, should I pick up Boston Scott or should I pick up Kenny Gainwell? Kenny Gainwell out-snapped Boston Scott 35-23 in this game. Gainwell ran 24 routes, Boston Scott 12, but that was a game they were trailing like the entire game. I mean, Las Vegas played very well. So what do you think about Gainwell versus Scott and anything else on the Eagles?
Yeah, it's going to be sad if Jalen Hurts gets benched, because he has been like a true fantasy cheat code. You got him in the double-digit rounds. You know, he's been, even last week, I mean, again, he didn't play well, but he finishes the number six overall fantasy quarterback. I think he's top three or top four on the season. I don't know. Hopefully he can play better going forward and at the start of games, because he's been a killer in garbage time. It's just they really have struggled to move the ball when games are competitive. I think the pickup is Gainwell, although he should have been rostered in most spots. It does sound like Miles Sanders avoided a high ankle sprain, and it's like a lower inversion sprain or whatever.
He was like crying on his way off the field. So it's got to be pretty serious, I think, but we'll see.
Yeah. Well, I saw him characterized as week to week, which usually means you're going to miss 1 week. And then after that, they're going to actually assess you on a week to week basis. But either way, I would prefer Gainwell. We've kind of seen Boston Scott, and he's not bad. He's not bad. And he's going to play, and he'll be a flex play, you know, right away. But I think that Kenny Gainwell has the upside here, and it is a team that's going to continue to trail in games. I mean, you know, I understand that's what they do. Yeah. That's what the Eagles do. They play from behind. Their defense isn't very good. Their quarterback doesn't really do anything until, you know, the second half of games. So they're going to continue to play from behind, and that's going to be good for Kenny Gainwell.
I kind of think that the Eagles envision Boston Scott in the Miles Sanders role from early this season, when Miles Sanders wasn't really playing on many pass downs. It was all Kenny Gainwell on pass downs. So I think they kind of slide Boston Scott into that base role. And then like anytime they're in anything even close to a passing down, it's Kenny Gainwell. And obviously on a team that's bad like the Eagles are, Kenny Gainwell would be the preferred option for me as well. But I do think that Boston Scott, like Evan said, is going to play, and he's going to play in base. And maybe if you think they can win some games, like I think they're playing the Lions this week, like, you know, you could start Boston Scott in a desperation situation.
Yeah. Oh, definitely. But Boston Scott can catch the ball too. I mean, he's had some good receiving games historically.
Let's go to San Francisco 49ers, who played the Sunday night game and lost in ugly fashion. One thing to note about their backfield, Eli Mitchell is like a stone zero in the pass game. Like, they think he's like, I don't know, they're using him in the way that like Damian Harris or Derrick Henry used to be used or whatever. Just like Jamichael Hasty comes back. Jamichael Hasty sees a 22% target share. Eli Mitchell, like, they didn't even look to him in the past game. So I thought that's notable, and it's tough for Eli Mitchell to really have big fantasy days with this kind of role. Mm-hmm. Anything on San Francisco's ugly loss? They're really reeling right now.
Yeah, and they don't seem to feel any you know, they don't seem to be compelled to play Trey Lance at all. Jimmy Garoppolo already got the nod. He's starting this week. So it's going to be more of the same. That's good for Debo Samuel. I mean, Debo Samuel and Jimmy Garoppolo have been hitting it off. But, you know, not really great for anybody else.
I have Brandon Ayuk on I think either one or two dynasty teams, and he is obviously tilting me. Obviously, there's no, we can't start Brandon Ayuk right now. I mean, he's played a ton the last three games, only caught four balls. I mean, do you have any long-term takes on Brandon Ayuk?
I mean, I liked him coming out of Arizona State. He was another guy. He wasn't like a big receiver, but he's got enough size. He's like Chris Godwin size. And he was really good in the return game at Arizona State. And I mean, he was great with the ball in his hands as a rookie. I know he's not, you know, earning targets right now, but I don't know, I'm staying optimistic. He's still a young guy. He came out of school early. He's I'm staying optimistic. I think he's a buy low. I believe in his talent. I think something really went, you know, I don't know if he showed up to training camp and like, you know, they thought that he felt like he had arrived, or, you know, he wasn't working as hard as like Trent Sherfield, you know, and that's why they started him out like that. And it just hasn't progressed to a point where they're calling plays for him. But I don't know what the deal. Something happened behind the scenes, though, because, I mean, he really was good as a rookie. Like, he was freaking good.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, he was awesome. And maybe a change of scenery would help here. And maybe we'll get that in the offseason. We'll see.
seems like it's working for Dante Pettis.
Yeah. Let's go to Seattle. We already talked about this a little bit. I mean, what an ugly game. Metcalf makes the big play. Just obviously the PSM is going to allow him to make some big plays, but Geno Smith only had 12 completions in the game. I mean, they're not even like, they have no confidence in Geno, it seems. They do get the home game against the Jaguars next, though. Do you have any optimism about Seattle's offense heading into that one?
It's just so gross. I mean, they, you know, obviously Metcalf and Lockett are out in front, and then Freddie Swain is number three, but then they also used Penny Hart quite a bit. So they essentially used a four-way wide receiver rotation. They're using Disley, Everett, and a little bit of Colby Parkinson at tight end. And then they are using, well, they didn't really use DJ Dallas in this one. They used him a ton in the game before. But in this one, they used a lot of Alex Collins, Rashad Penny, and Travis Homer. So, and you're talking about an offense that is going to struggle to score 20 points per game until Russ returns. So, I mean, it's just, it's a really, really ugly offense to invest in. You got DK Metcalf, who is obviously, you're going to start him every week. But then even Tyler Lockett, without Russ. I mean, it was Lewis Riddick on Monday night talking about the chemistry and just the way that Russ throws the ball versus the way that Geno Smith throws the ball. And Geno Smith like puts it on a rope on a line, mm-hmm. whereas like Russ would just loft it up there perfectly for Tyler Lockett. And you could just see on the big play chance they had down the left sideline in that game that the way that Geno Smith throws the ball is just much different than the way that Russell Wilson does. And that chemistry, which we always talk about when we're drafting Tyler Lockett, you know, it's just not there. And it's, I think it's going to struggle to happen until Russ gets back.
Let's go to the Bucs. You know, it's like, doesn't matter. No Antonio Brown, no Rob Gronkowski. Doesn't matter. Four more touchdowns for 44-year-old Tom Brady. One thing to note for me, and I talked about on the solo pod how I played the Brady double on FanDuel this week with some success, and you know, they throw in blowouts. Like they're up 28-3, 35-3, and Tom Brady's in there throwing at the goal line. Like they don't care at all. And you know, obviously he's trying to break all the records and set all the records and have them never get caught. And I get that. But I mean, I think we have to build that into some point when we're projecting games, at least for DFS. Like Brady is throwing in blowouts and throwing for touchdowns in blowouts, period. So that was just one thing I noticed on Tampa. Anything for you on Tampa's blowout of the Bears?
Credit where it's due. Ronald Jones came in late in the game and had some nice runs. And I mean, the dude can run the football. Like,
yeah,
he can't. It's just that doesn't add very much value when you fumble, when you you know, you can't pass protect for your 44-year-old quarterback and you don't catch passes. But you know, they might need him at some time. At some point, if something happens to Leonard Fournette, like Ronald Jones, the next man up in a top five offense. So, you know, as much shit as I've talked about Ronald Jones this year, you know, the dude might fall into some opportunity in a really good spot. And I definitely think he's worth rostering.
Yeah. I mean, Ronald Jones, I think you can make cases a better inside between the tackles runner than Leonard Fournette. But regardless, Leonard Fournette's role right now is so ridiculous because he has so much of the pass game role and so much of the goal line role. So, I mean, mm-hmm. it's all that matters. I mean, Leonard Fournette is awesome fantasy asset right now. Last team we're going to do here is the Washington football team. I note that Deami Brown got hurt again, his knee. I'm not sure if it's an aggravation or a new injury, but really rough rookie year for Deami Brown. Speaking of health, you know, the report from Schefter Sunday morning was that Antonio Gibson was feeling better, and maybe that's true, but they still did not use him at all on passing downs. Only 10 routes for Antonio Gibson on 48 Taylor Heinicke dropbacks. JD McKissick, 36 routes on 48 dropbacks. So, I mean, it's just really hard for Gibson to have big games when mm-hmm. Washington's not scoring very many touchdowns and he's a zero in the pass game. What do you see out of Washington's game up in Lambeau?
Yeah, I mean, it was largely competitive. And then, you know, the Packers kind of ran away with it and got that cover, which was nice. But, you know, the Washington visits Denver this week, and then they have their bye. And then I think after that, Logan Thomas, Curtis Samuel, and Ryan Fitzpatrick might all return. I do think that they will go back to Ryan Fitzpatrick when he is cleared, but he is not going to have another MRI on his hip for two more weeks. So it does seem like they are clearly targeting the potential week 10 return for Ryan Fitzpatrick and those other dudes. And, you know, maybe they can have a hot finish to the season.
That is going to do it for this NFC team by team podcast. I appreciate you all listening. If you haven't checked out Establish the Run yet, we have something for everyone, NFL and NBA. This podcast is indeed free. Hit subscribe so we continue to bring you free content like this. Hit subscribe on your iTunes or wherever you are listening to this, YouTube, etc. For producer Luke, for Evan, I am Adam. Good luck, everybody.